Turn your Bibles, will, to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, and this is one of those messages that come from an inquiry of some of the membership of the church. I have a list where I write those down when some would say, "Well, Brother Jim, I'd like you to preach on so and so sometime." I do note those down and pray about it, and then the Lord stirs me to it, and look to bring a message on that those subjects from time to time. This is one of those. Someone asked the question, "What's heaven like? What's heaven like?" And I know, brother, when we had Brother Doug Meadows here in 2013, he did preach on this subject, the third heaven. Just really felt impressed that we go ahead and take a look at it again. And the subject this morning: what is heaven like? What is heaven like? And so in Isaiah 66, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." He goes on and talks about a house and how would it be that Israel would build him a house and build him a place of rest. We're not going to consider that this morning, but we want to take a look here at heaven. What is heaven like? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings upon us in the day. We thank you for this time and this day that you've made and set aside for us to meet together to worship you, Father, that one day out of seven for the holy convocation, your people coming together here at Olmsted Baptist Church, meeting together to worship you. And we thank you for the way you've blessed already. And we pray, Father, that you would continue to bless. Help us, Father, to hear you speaking to us through your word. Help us to believe you and what you say. Help us, Lord, that we would hide your word in our hearts so we not sin against you. Edify us as your people, Father. We need to be built up in the most holy faith. And Lord, teach us things from your word. And we pray, Father, for those that are here this morning and not saved. Oh, by their own testimony, Lord, some admit and know that they're not saved. And we pray, Father, that you would save them. Lord, you're able. You're able. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's in your hands. We pray, Father, that you would work. Use us to be the means to carry the word and the seed to them, Father. Use us in your plan to be a good witness to them of good things in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you just work in our midst. Help us, Lord, as we consider here for a short time about this subject of heaven, what heaven is like and what you've told us in your word about it. Help us, Lord, we might learn things from you. And Lord, as your people, be encouraged. And Lord, those that are here and not saved, they might be challenged about the need of their soul. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. The Lord says, "Thus saith the Lord," it says in Isaiah 66, 1, "the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." What is heaven like? What is heaven like? Yeah, I tell you what, you take a look in the scripture, and of course, this is a reference of any form of the word heaven, and we're going to see about that. But there's 691 verses in the Bible that talk about heaven or the heavens. Some of those verses even mention heaven multiple times. Understand, there are three heavens, okay? There's the earth's atmosphere. That's what we walk around in on this earth, as we walk on this earth. The atmosphere, that's the first heaven, if you will. And then we consider about space, where the sun and the moon and the stars are. That's the second heaven. And then there's that third heaven, as we refer to it. And that's the one we want to look at this morning, where our Lord dwells. In Genesis chapter 1, the Lord states it real plain here, and just right off the bat, because we need to know right off the bat, who created all this? Okay, who created all this? Well, in verse number 1 of Genesis chapter 1, the very first verse in the Bible, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And it's not being particular at that point. We skip on down here to verse number 8, where the Lord had divided the firmament. And he says here that which is above the earth. In verse number 8, "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." So there on the second day, the Lord made a distinction with the atmosphere and that in between the earth. In verse number 10, on the next day, it says, "And God called the dry land earth." There's that that's above the earth, the heavens, if you will, and then the earth. In verse number 16, it says here, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. That's the second heaven out there in space. There's a vacuum in space, but we have air pressure here so that we might live here on the first heaven. And it tells about our Lord creating the second heaven. In Colossians chapter 1, let's take a look over here and follow along if your Bible, in your Bible if you can. There are a lot of scriptures we're going to take a look at about the third heaven. But in Colossians chapter 12, that we fully understand about this third heaven, it says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12, let's read. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, speaking about the saints, we who are saved, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The Lord has saved us. If you're here without Christ, you need the Lord to save you. You need salvation from the Lord. We're not in this state of being saved because of anything that we've done or that I was a good catch. I was a prize for the Lord. I wasn't a prize for the Lord. Oh, worthless, wicked sinner, deserving of hell for eternity. But the Lord, by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, was pleased to save me. You that are here and saved, he saved you that same way. You that are here and not saved, you can be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. From the power of darkness has translated us into his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear Son. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the payment of the Lord's blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse number 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, verse 16, that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible. So if you can see it, God created it. If you can't see it, God created it. Amen? The third heaven. We can't see the third heaven, can we? Whether they be thrones, we're going to see about a throne, or the thrones upon this earth, or dominions. Now, there's some dominions at hand, aren't they? They all fall under the dominion of the Lord, but the Lord's given some responsibilities out, or principalities or powers, even kings of this earth. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Lord doesn't want them to exist. They're not going to. But he's created them all. The first heaven, the second heaven, and indeed the third heaven. What is heaven like? Well, in Exodus chapter 15, verse number 3, and Moses, he sings a song here. First thing we want to take a look is there are armies in heaven. I find that interesting. And in Exodus 15, verse 3, I'll read it to you. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, today, folks don't want to think about the Lord, Lord God that way, but he is a man of war. And you know what? He's got armies. In Isaiah 47, take a look over here. I like this. This is something that the Lord showed me here a few years ago, and just about another aspect of the Lord. And it's a blessing. You know, because we're not at a place. Somebody tells you about some place they went on vacation and they describe it to you and they show you pictures and they show you and tell you how fun it was and all that. It's just hard for you to really get it unless you go there, isn't it? And so that can happen to us in regards to that third heaven. We think, and even a bill of goods that's sold, that, you know, heaven's just maybe kind of this boring place. You remember the White Cloud commercials. I think of that years ago when I was a kid. The White Cloud commercials, toilet paper of all things, and it would show heavenly robed beings strumming on hearts, floating around on clouds. That's not what heaven's like. But isn't it something how there's a subtle programming there about, and so my heaven, somebody thinks of that commercial, they say, well, that's pretty boring, strumming around on a harp forever on a cloud. It's not what heaven is about. Isaiah 47, there are armies in heaven. Isaiah says in verse number 4 of Isaiah 47, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Lord of hosts. He's got armies. That's what that word hosts is talking about. He's got How many legions of angels did he say that he could call? 12 legions of angels to come and deliver him if he would do so. He has armies indeed. In Isaiah 48 verse 2, "For they call themselves of the holy city, they stay themselves upon the God of Israel," speaking of his people, "the Lord of hosts is his name." He has armies, extensive armies, indeed. In chapter 51, verse 15 of Isaiah, "But I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea." This is the Lord speaking directly, "whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name." Not one host, but many hosts, legions or divisions, if you will, armies indeed our Lord has. In Isaiah 54, verse 5, "For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name," he says to Israel, "and thy Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called." The Lord of hosts is his name. He's a great leader. He's indeed a man of war. The Lord is his name. He has armies. Men of war have armies. And the men of the world that seek to engage in war, they put together fighters and mercenaries and armies. Our Lord has armies too, and there's armies. There's hosts in heaven. It says in Revelation chapter 19, take a look over here. Let's look at this. Revelation chapter 19. What's heaven like? Well, I'll tell you what, there's hosts. There's a bunch of the soldiers and the armies of our Lord in heaven. Look here in Revelation 19, speaking about when the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth. Are you ready for this? The scripture says here, in verse number 14 of Revelation 19, "And the armies which were in heaven..." There's armies in heaven. "Followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." Enoch is quoted by Brother Jude in the book of Jude in verse number 14. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these," those that rail against the way of the Lord, those that reject the gospel, those that doubt the Lord and his word, those that stand against as enemies against our Lord. "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." 10,000s. Many hosts are in the Lord. There's lords. The Lord has armies in heaven. Tell you what, it's good to sing, "I'm in the Lord's army," isn't it? Amen? Isn't it good? The Lord's coming back with his saints. You know what? As an aside there, I hadn't thought about this until this consideration. But there in Revelation 19, you know what else is in heaven? There's horses in heaven. In Revelation 19, verse number 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." Now, I know our Lord can create horses just like that. And what a wonder that'll be, is to ride a horse out of heaven. Won't that be something? Ride a horse out of heaven with our Lord? There's horses in heaven. Now, listen, it's not your horse that you've had here. Okay, it's not our pets. But there are horses in heaven. The saints will come back on white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. It goes on to say here in verse number 11, let's look up here, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse." I wonder if the Lord already has that horse prepared. Isn't that something? "And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Are you ready for him to come back? Well, our radio broadcasts have been along that theme here in recent months. So there are hosts in heaven. There are armies in heaven, and the needs of those armies are at hand. You know, in this chapter 19, it tells us very clearly, even though the Lord has these hosts, has these armies, he alone will do the fighting against the enemy. He alone. He has all these hosts, and he has all these armies, but he didn't even have to use them. You need the Lord Jesus, and we need him indeed. In Genesis chapter 28, you know about Jacob's ladder. What else is in heaven? Or who else is in heaven? In Genesis 28, let's read here. The ministering spirits of our Lord are in heaven. Jacob went out of Beersheba, it says in verse number 10 of Genesis 28. And he dreamed a dream, verse number 12, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Now, angels don't need a ladder to come and go from heaven, but there are angels that come and go from heaven. There are angels in heaven. They are the ministering spirits of our Lord, it tells us clearly in the book of Hebrews. In Matthew 18, verse number 10, our Lord said, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, little children. For I say unto you, listen, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." Angels in heaven beholding the face of the Father, and those angels assigned to little ones. Isn't that what that says? The Lord Jesus said it himself. "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." In Matthew chapter 22, the Lord Jesus says, when challenged about these seven brethren that had this one woman to wife after each one from the eldest to the youngest died, and the next one would marry her and so on. And they challenged the Lord, the Sadducees, they doubted about the resurrection and angels. And the Lord sets them straight on three or four things there. And the Lord says this in Matthew 22:30, "For in the resurrection they neither marry," speaking about the saints, "nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." There's angels in heaven, the ministering spirits of the Lord. What is heaven like? Well, there's armies in heaven. There's hosts in heaven. There's the people of God in heaven, which we'll see about more. And there are indeed angels in heaven. In Matthew 24, Lord, when asked about when are the end times going to come, when's the return of the Lord going to be? The Lord says in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven." They don't know. The Son in his humanity does not know, only the Father. "But my Father only, he knows the time of the return." Are you ready for it? In Luke chapter 2, let's take a look over here at the birth of our Lord. There was a great celebration of heavenly host, it says here. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 13, the angels appeared to the shepherds, and they give them the good news about the birth of our Lord. And in Luke chapter 2, verse number 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel that told the shepherds a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." The angels were there, and they were praising God. And it says they went on back to heaven. There's hosts in heaven. There are armies in heaven. And the necessity of the Lord for his armies when he comes will be provided unto them. And I don't know if that white horse is there now or not, but the Lord, they will be there, and it will, that horse, our Lord will come riding that horse from heaven. You know what else is in heaven? There's a throne in heaven. There's a great throne in heaven. Ezekiel chapter 1, let's turn here. And I tell you what, my temptation is to read this, and I love reading this. I tell you what, even though you and I can't see it, I tell you what, don't push this off that this isn't so. Listen to what it says. In Ezekiel chapter 1, verse number 1, "Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof was as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came a likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides. And they four had their faces and their wings. And their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every man one straight forward, every one straight forward. For as the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion, and on the right side, the four had the face of an ox, on the left side, and they four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright. And out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of the flash of lightning. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearances of the wheels and their work was like unto the color of beryl. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Verse 17, and they went, when they went on their four sides, and they turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. The height of them was so great, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Thither was their spirit to go, and the wheels were lifted up over against them, and the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels." It's like these creatures have these wheels outboard of them. They're not connected, but when they go and when they move, they go with them. A wondrous thing. These creatures don't turn around to go. Just whenever the spirit within them says to go, they move forward. Forward is that way, or forward is this way, forward is this way, and it's instant. Verse 21, "When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted from the earth, the wheels were lifted over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creatures is as the color of a terrible crystal, stretched forth over their heads above. And under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on his side, and everyone had two which covered on that side their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of the great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the noise of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne." I read all that about those four creatures because they're there and there's something that's greater above them. It all seems like it's connected. And it says here that in heaven, when Ezekiel was allowed to see this sight in heaven, he says, there is a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man upon it. That's our God. That's our great God and King on his throne in heaven. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire. And it had brightness round about, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. I tell you what, in heaven there's a throne. And if you and I would see it, it would kill us. We're not equipped yet to be able to see that throne. But I tell you what, that throne is indeed there. In Revelation chapter 4, our brother John, he speaks about this and the vision and the showing that the Lord gave him about this. And there's many similarities that are here and some greater description of it for our understanding. In Revelation 4, the scripture says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. Again, heaven is opened up. And the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about round about the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders. So not only in heaven is there a throne, but there's 24 elders that sit there around the throne of God Almighty, sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. They're kingly, yet they sit before the King of all. Verse 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne. So there's 7 lamps that are there, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind, the same ones we saw in Ezekiel. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts, each of them had 6 wings about him and were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I tell you what, in the throne room of heaven, it's a sight. It's a wonder. It's the most spectacular thing that has ever been and ever will be. God Almighty sits there on his throne in heaven. What's heaven like? Verse number 9. And when those beasts give honor and glory and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. He's the King. He's God Almighty. He is the Creator. In Isaiah chapter 6, Brother Isaiah was allowed to see this sight, and it had an effect on him, as it did, we saw even with John, and as we saw there about Ezekiel, he fell down on his face. And Isaiah had the same experience when he saw this glory of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. In heaven, there's a temple. There's a temple of God in heaven. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. We've heard about that, haven't we? With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain or two he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And of course, it goes on there to tell about Isaiah submitting to the call of the Lord. What's heaven like? What's heaven like? There's armies in heaven. There are hosts in heaven. There are angels in heaven. And there's a great throne room there in heaven. And then what is heaven like? Well, next we want to consider our Lord Jesus Christ is there in heaven, sitting and standing at times. He's there. Our Lord Jesus Christ is on the right hand of our Father in heaven. I like the way Brother Mark wraps up his gospel. A young man at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ being here, having his ministry upon the earth. And he says very simply and very plainly here, what happened at the end of our Lord being upon this earth. In the last verses of the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 16, verses 19 and 20, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, unto his church, commissioning them and what they were to go ahead and do and pursue, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. He's there at the right hand. In this verse, it says that he sat there on the right hand of God. The significance of our Lord sitting there on the right hand of the Father is that he completed all that the Father gave him to do in winning our atonement and completing our redemption, our salvation, his great gospel. He did all those things for our salvation. He completed them, and the testimony is he's worthy to sit there at the right hand of the Father. What's heaven like? Well, Jesus is there. In Hebrews chapter 1, listen to what a brother writes in this book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, speaking about who the Lord would call, not a man, not an angel, but called rather his Son to be the Savior and to fulfill all things that the Lord had given mankind to do. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3, who being in the brightness, being the brightness of his glory, then the express image of his person. You want to see God, you see him in Jesus. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is there at the right hand of the Father. Our brother going on in the book of Hebrews with this same thought in chapter 8, verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest. You need a high priest because you can't mediate for yourself. You need some, every sinner on this earth needs somebody that can do something for them that they can't do for themselves. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. Now, of the things which we have spoken, speaking of the previous chapters, we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. The brother can't get away from it. In chapter 10, verse 12, but this man, speaking of Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. What's heaven like? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is there on the right hand of the Father. In chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Verse number 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 22, speaking of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 22. Get caught up here with you. As Scripture says, speaking of Christ, speaking of his resurrection, who is going into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. He's the King. He's the Savior. He's our great high priest. In heaven, what's heaven like? Well, I'll tell you what. In Revelation chapter 1, it tells another aspect of this. Not only is the Lord sitting there on his throne, not only is the Lord Jesus Christ sitting there at the right hand of the Father, but we see this in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. Brother John writes, on the Isle of Patmos, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, to Pergamos, Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one unto like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Listen, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. And his feet were like unto fine brass, as if they had been burned, as if they burned in a furnace, as if they was molten. And his voice was as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength, brighter than the sun. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he said, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell, and have the keys of death, if you will. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You know what? In heaven, our Lord Jesus is concerned about Olmsted Baptist Church. He walks amongst the candlesticks. He holds that which he is doing in our church and all of his churches in his hand. And he ministers unto us and helps us and makes good all the promises that he's promised unto his church. Tell you what, what's it like in heaven? I tell you, it's a busy place in heaven. There's a lot going on in heaven and more things that we can even mention. I tell you what, think about this. What did the Lord Jesus Christ tell Brother Thomas, all right, and Brother Philip as they were there in John chapter 14? He says to the disciples, and they're there close, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. You know what he's doing right now? In heaven. Somewhere over there in the third heaven. I tell you what, it must be a big place. He's preparing a place for us. Now understand this. Heaven is the dwelling place of the saints right now. And we believe from the scriptures that the saints are going to come back one day and rule with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. But this isn't our permanent home. The scripture is very plain in the book of Revelation that there's coming a new heaven and a new earth. The Lord telling us, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Our eternal abode is the new heaven, and I believe for we that are members of his church in that new Jerusalem. Is heaven big enough for a new heaven and a new earth to be prepared by our Lord now? He says present tense or future tense, I go to prepare. And many mansions at hand. I think the quarrel we would have with that in our mind is trying to take eternity and chime it up with time. Amen? But our Lord in heaven is preparing a place for us. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. New Jerusalem's coming down out of heaven. Is there room? Is there room in that third heaven to prepare a new heaven with its first and second heavens? Wow. In Revelation chapter 1, or Revelation 21, verse 1, John writes, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Tell you what's heaven like? In Luke chapter 15, take a look over here. Take a look over here. What's heaven like? And the scripture bears out, and I didn't even touch this point. There's been some mentioned of it in the scriptures that we've read, but sometimes the Lord speaks from heaven, and he will speak from heaven. He spoke from heaven when he was pleased about the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized. He spoke from heaven when he was pleased with his son there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was pleased when the Lord Jesus Christ, before his crucifixion, was so earnest and so desirous to glorify the Father, glorify the name of the Father. And the Father answered from heaven, "I have glorified it and I will glorify it again," as the Lord Jesus would continue to obey. In Luke chapter 15, verse number 10, we can't skip over this. Verse number 8. "Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it?" Facets, aspects of the kingdom is what our Lord's speaking about. "And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost.' Likewise, I say unto you," Jesus says, "there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." What's heaven like? In the presence of the angels. Do you think our Lord would word it that way, in the presence of the angels, if it were specifically the angels? I tell you what, how about the 24 elders? You reckon they're rejoicing? How about those beasts that are there that are seemingly are part of the throne of God? How about the saints that are there already? When one sinner repents, would there be rejoicing by them? And could it not be our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior there at the right hand of the Father, there at the right hand of the Father on His throne, rejoicing? "Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God," in their presence, "over one sinner that repenteth." You know why I think that this is talking about our Lord? Is because of this in Acts chapter 7. Brother Stephen, he makes a stand unto his brethren, the Jews there, the nation of Israel, and he takes them through their history. And he tells them this here in Acts chapter 7, verse number 51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. The same way your daddies did, as your fathers did, so do ye." Verse 52 of Acts 7. "Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one," speaking of Jesus, "of whom ye have now been now the betrayers and murderers." Verse 53, "Who have received the law by the dispensation or the God's use of the angels to bring that to them, and have not kept the word of God." Verse number 54. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth." I mean, they are livid, angry at Brother Stephen about the things he said. "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Jesus is not sitting, but Brother Stephen sees the Lord Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He sees him there And it says in verse 57, and they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Stephen with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What's heaven like? Precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. Amen. And is it just for martyrs? Well, we know for this martyr it was. But I dare say and believe that our Lord's great love and care for his children, we that he saved and those that he will save, is when they come, he stands to receive them. What's it like in heaven? I tell you what, it's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place. In 1 Thessalonians, what's it like in heaven? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, you believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul, for his gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection, making it possible that a sinner like you could be saved by that being applied to your sins and your soul and your need by faith in him. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. They're saints. They're saints in heaven, in that third heaven even now. Our Lord will bring them with him. In conclusion, heaven is a wonderful place indeed, isn't it? How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. Are you going to heaven when you die? Are you going to heaven when you die? In John chapter 14, verse number 6, very familiar passage. But listen. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I ask you, where's the Father? He's in heaven.